would not have a chance of such clarification with English language. Therefore, I prefer that we say something in Arabic and see how much Arabic you can pick. Because this is the language of Quran. As if you don't understand Arabic, whatever the Imam is reciting, you won't feel it. You won't feel it. You will just stand in prayer like in any other day. So, my advice to you, brothers, although we want to convey the ilm to you, although tulab al-ilm either speak to you in English or have somebody to translate, but yet this is not the way of seeking knowledge. And we at this lecture, our lecture in how can a person seek knowledge? We should clarify this thing and make it clear that if you don't work hard to get the language, Arabic language, you won't really get the knowledge. You will only get something, some bits of it, but not the knowledge. You can't be Talib al-ilm in any other language other than Arabic. You can't be a Muslim, no problem. But you can't be Talib al-ilm and simply learn Arabic so you can't go to the books, you can't listen to the tales of the ulama, you can't listen to the ulama directly. Because between the text of the alim and the translation, many, many words, many statements, many meanings, many feelings die and get lost. So my advice to you, brothers and sisters, if any of you wants to seek knowledge which is better for him in this life and in the hereafter, then seek first of all the Arabic language. Learn it. It is not that difficult. Especially that it is the language of Quran. You can have it, you can know it. We promise that today we are going to speak about three things. Who are the ulama that you seek the knowledge with? And what are the books you start with, or let's say the curriculum, and how you can make this ilm beneficial, fruitful, and effective to yourself and to the others. The first one, who are the ulama that you need to seek knowledge with? First of all, we yesterday mentioned that it is not necessary to go and sit to the kibar ulama. When you have just come to Islam or you are now deciding to seek the knowledge, whether you are Arab or you are non-Arab. Why? Because it is not the matter of Arabic language only, even if the person is Arab. He is told to choose the proper circle of knowledge, the proper book. So for such kind of person, if he, for example, wants to read about Tawheed, he first of all take Kitab al-Tawheed, has it, and read the text. And then he takes the explanation of Sheikh Ibn Baz, which is very small and simple. And then he takes the Ibn Qasim, which is simple as the one of Sheikh Ibn Baz, but most of it is taken from Qurrat Uyun al-Muwahideen, who are a big book for learning Kitab al-Tawheed. Then you go for the book of Sheikh Uthaymeen, or before that, book of Sheikh Talha al-Fawzan, Explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. It's one volume. Then you go to the book of Sheikh Uthaymeen, which is wider, two big volumes. And then you go to Fath al-Majid, which still all these books are explaining Kitab al-Tawheed, but it is based on level. It is not good for Talib al-Ilm, you or a beginner Talib al-Ilm, even if he's Arab, to jump and take Fath al-Majid or Tayseer al-Aziz al-Hamid right away. And even before Fath al-Majid, I recommend Qurrat Uyun al-Muwahideen or Abd al-Rahman ibn Hassan, grandson of Sheikh Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. And then Fath al-Majid, which is a brief of Tayseer al-Aziz al-Hamid. Tayseer al-Aziz al-Hamid takes you to a wider view of Tawheed and many other things. I gave this example just to show you how to choose the alim. When you know how to choose the book that fits you, you know how to choose the teacher. Not necessarily to be alim. You come to a talib al-ilm who studied with the ulama. Talib al-ilm who have studied with the ulama. You come and seek the knowledge with him. Same book. The book you want to seek or to study with the big alim. But before you go and study it with, for example, the Mufti or Sheikh Fawzan, because they may just give little words and then you're not, you know, you're confused. So what do you do? You study the small books, the combination of this book. Study it with Talib al-Ilm, because Talib al-Ilm will give you only little things. Then you go higher and higher. Then you can sit to the ulama. You can't get to the ulama. So how can I distinguish, or how can I know which alim I take knowledge with? First of all, you need to know your level. When you are a beginner, you should sit to Ulab al-Ilm first. And then you go and sit to a alim. But a alim teaching the book that fits your level. It's not, I just want to, I want to sit to Sheikh Abbas, or I want to sit to Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, or to Sheikh Wasilullah, or to Sheikh Muhammad Adam, or whatever. Now it is, what are they teaching now? They might be teaching an advanced book. So you won't benefit. And you will feel that it is boring for you. So this is the manhaj of how to choose your teacher for this stage or this lesson. The alim you are going to sit to by two things: by the book he's teaching now, and by your level. If you are not, you look into the attendance, the students in that circle. If you see that they are all advanced, so you know that now you cannot understand what is going to be said. Not at all, but at least you will miss bits of it. So what do? You choose another class. Take another class. It is not because this hal isn't good, no, but because the verse given now doesn't fit your level. But in order to know the alim, whether he is a person, you should take alim from or not. You put the alim on the scale of ulama. What does that mean? You see what today, if the ulama have spoken about this man, you see what they say. If they recommended him, then you know that he is a person whom you can take knowledge of. But if the ulama curse him or disguise him or, you know, wrote out the misunderstanding of this person, this individual, then you avoid. If they did not say anything, neither positive nor negative, about this person, how can I know? Is he a man that I can seek knowledge with or not? Person, you listen to what he says, in general, what he says about Aqidah, what he says about individuals, okay? And then compare it to what the ulama said about the same issues. If you see a contradiction, then you just avoid. And this should be a step taken before you sit to him and seek knowledge. Why? Because usually the student is the student loves his teacher. So once you sit and he speaks very nicely, so you are attracted, then it is very difficult for you to leave. So you need to do that before you come and sit to the alim. Now we come to the books. What should I, or the curriculum? We have three levels, and so we have three curriculums. Level one, a very beginner student, what should he study? First of all, the fields that he needs to study are as follows. The Quran, it says, tafsir of the Quran, Arabic language, usul al-fiqh, fiqh itself, aqeedah, hadith, seerah, mustalah hadith, and raqa'i. Quran in level one. What should he do with Quran? It is not right that you come and speak about big issues, jarh ta'dil, iman, yani the act of iman, condition of, you know, professional conditions of this is, and you don't memorize even simple surah, or you don't recite them well. That is shame. That is shame. And the manhaj of the ulama from before, they use whenever a student of knowledge or a person come and sit in their circle, willing to seek knowledge. And I'll tell you one story. Happened with one of the ulama in the early days, and it is written in the books. The alim was sitting teaching when he saw a new student came and sat down. He told him, stand up. And then he started asking him, have you memorized Quran? He said, no. He said, go back and memorize Quran, then come back. So the man went, memorized Quran, came back after a while. So when he came another day for sure, after many months, the Sheikh asked him, have you learned Arabic language? He was Arab, but he needs to learn the grammar and the meaning and the vocabulary, and, you know. The man said no. He said, go back, learn Arabic and come back. He went for a long while and came back. Sheikh asked him, have you studied hadith, meaning mustalah? He said no. He said, go back, then and come back. Why? Because the Sheikh was teaching the hadith itself. So if the Sheikh is talking about things like, for example, this hadith da'if, this man doesn't realize what is da'if. If you stop any Arab in Saudi Arabia, in Makkah, in Medina, any regular Arab, I'm telling him, what is Hadith Da'if mean? He said, what is this? There's Hadith Da'if and Hadith Strong? And God said by some of them, God said, if the Hadith Da'if, give it to this way. So it becomes strong. Why? Because you don't differentiate between these are terms. Yeah, in the general Arabic language, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean the hadith is da'if. It doesn't mean it doesn't give the same meaning of what the ulama of hadith understand. So da'if to the Ami is not the same da'if Arab Ami. It does not have the same da'if to the ulama of hadith. And that's why when you come to seek the ilm of hadith, you need first of all to say, there's a doctrine there. What is Mustalah al-Hadith? When you want to seek fiqh, you need to seek the introduction of it, which is Usul al-Fiqh. When you want to, learn any kind of field, you have to, when you need to learn the Aqidah, you have to seek the introduction of it, which are the basics. Okay? So you have to start with the basics. Many people today wants to jump. They are not known that they studied knowledge with anybody. One of them says, oh, I studied 1 year with Sheikh so and so. 1 year. He's an Arab. And he studied 1 year. What can he get in 1 year? When you see, for example, Thabit ibn Aslam al-Bunani, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik, the ulama says, Thabit Ibn Aslam أثبت الناس في Anas. The strongest one of the students of Anas was Thabit Ibn Aslam. Why? They said that he accompanied Anas Ibn Malik and wherever he goes, and all the time for 20 years. Not 1, 2, 20 years. And recently Sheikh Ibn Baz accompanied Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Ibrahim, although Sheikh Ibn Baz at that time was a big Arabic. But he stayed with him for 10 complete years. Until Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim said to him, I want to go to Al-Kharj, a small town near Riyadh, and be the judge there, the judge of Al-Kharj. So he could not refuse. But until that time, 10 years, Sheikh Ibn Baz is with him. As he said, whenever split unless we are going to sleep. That's it. Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Azamin and Sheikh Qadi, same thing. So the ulama have gone through this. But today, you see a Muslim brother went to Saudi or to Yemen. Allah A'lam what he was doing there. Allah A'lam. Because many people go to Yemen and come and say, oh, I've been in Yemen, I've been in Sheikh Muqbid. Yeah, he was there. But as you said the hadith yesterday of the three people who came to the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of them came to the front row and sat down there. And the second said, just by where he found a place. And the third turned away. So they all came to the circle. Now if that says one and go back and say, I'm part of Al-Ilm, I've been to the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How come he be part of Al-Ilm? He cannot be part of Al-Ilm. So today, to the people it is enough to see the face of the Shaykh one time, to become part of Al-Ilm. And that's a real problem today. And that was called a big question. It was never seen that Ahlul Sunnah split this far and to this much groups. Now we have Ahlul Bid'ah in one side, and there are many groups. And we have Ahlul Sunnah. Usually in the past, Ahlul Sunnah were one group. But look at it today. Salafis and they are enemies. Salafis and they have enemies. In one land, they call the same thing. But they have enemies. Why? Everyone wants to be the head. Everyone. No one expects to be the shoulder. Everyone wants to be the head. What if we tell them, be the feet? Be the tail. They won't accept. They won't accept. So, my advice to you, as people who want to seek knowledge, is first of all, choose the alim as the way on the way we say, and choose the book. And to choose the book, we're going to name some books, but you need to ask you, Sheikh, that you have chosen. You say, I think I can do this book. What do you think, Sheikh? If he says no, take it as it is. Don't negotiate. Don't negotiate. Because he knows you're living. He knows you're living. And he will put you in the level where you should be so you can climb the stairs. We say Quran, طالب العلم and the alim, and even the regular Muslim. Must have a good contact with Quran all the time. You need to, at level one, you need to recite first to somebody who is a good reciter, who studied this kind of ilm with the Shaykh. So you sit to him and say, listen to me when I recite and correct me if I make a mistake. And tell me what is the mistake and how I correct it. So this is the way. It's not just to check the Quran and sit aside and recite. No. Even if he stops you for 1,000 times, don't feel boring. Why? Because later on, you will need nobody to correct you, to stop you. So, and don't be so willing to memorize more and more and more before you recite it correctly, before you understand, you know the knowledge in it, before you implement the knowledge, as what we are going to show. As what Ibn Umar said, Ibn Umar memorized the Quran in 10 years. It's not because he has bad memory. No, but he explained why. He said that we used to memorize only 10 ayat. And then we go and seek the knowledge in it. And then we ask about that. So then we move to the next 10 ayat. And like that. Like that. Today, you see many memorizers, many nice insiders, but where is the fiqh? They are all acting upon the opposite of what they say. As what Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said, كيف أنتم إذا كانت فيكم فتنة أو إظهرت فيكم فتنة يهموا فيها الصغير ويهرموا فيها الكبير. قالوا متى ذاك يرحمك الله؟ قال إذا كثر قراءكم وقل فقهاؤكم وكثر خطباؤكم وقل علماؤكم. See, Ibn Mas'ud is saying, what if a fitna, say, occurred amongst you all when you are living? And that in which the child will go out in it, and the adult will become old in it. It means it stays for a long time. And many people will be influenced by that. So the Tabi'een asked him, what is that, Ya Aba Abdul Rahman, Rahmukallah? He said, إِذَا كَثُرَ قُرَّاءَكُمْ, if many, most of you become reciter. Number of reciters, a must. Is that bad? No. But at the same time, وَقَلَّ فُقَهَاءُكُمْ, means that They recite, but they don't understand what they recite. How come we say that? You look to the archers. They recite. And they must have a little jama'at, nice voices. But you come outside and see them. Even the worships, you see them. They may go to the grave, they may go with the one Muslimin, they may be with the Tabligh, they may be with the groups. Why? Because no fiqh. No fiqh. They did not take the Quran the way the Sahaba took it. They took it in the way the Khawarij took it. How did the Khawarij take it? The Prophet said, يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حناجرهم. They recite the Quran. In the Hadith of Prophet said, تحقرون قراءتكم إلى قراءتهم. You, the companions, will see your recitation of Quran as lesser than theirs. Why? Because they recite Quran very, very much. But what is the difference? The Sahaba are having the fiqh, the understanding of this ayat. Those ones do not have them. That's why they were ashes. So you need to sit to somebody who already studied this kind of field, seeking or recitation of Quran with somebody who had it. And you need to memorize letters upon your understanding, upon your ability. But you need to act upon that. You need to fulfill the fiqh of that. And you need to give yourself a chance to stable and certain that knowledge. How? You need to recite, you need to have what we call wird, part of the Quran, other than the one you are memorizing. So you need to have a wird every night you recite. That means you need to stand a night for prayer. Imam Ahmad had a visitor, طالب العلم. He came to seek the knowledge. Imam Ahmad welcomed him and gave him a place to sleep and gave him a container of water. So at night he stands and he could go and pray. And Fajr, Imam Ahmad came and awaited him to do Fajr prayer. But he looked and he found the water as is. He said, Subhanallah, you're talib al-ilm and you don't pray night? That's Allah. How come? How do you want help from Allah for you to seek the knowledge more and more? You need to ask what you learn, where you stay. So you have to give some time, even little time, for night prayer. Tafsir. When you come to the tafsir field, or the field of tafsir, you need to read tafsir of the surahs or ayat that you are memorizing. You don't memorize from Surah Al-Nas above, and you read tafsir from Surah Al-Fatiha or Surah Al-Baqarah going down. Now that's not good. You have to match between what you memorize, read the tafsir of. So, and tafsir, don't just make your concern that you say to somebody that Ibn Jarir Tabari said in vain so and so. No. You read the tafsir that fits you. Tafsir for beginners should start with tafsir al-Sa'd. تفسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان أو تفسير شيطان في المنام بتشكيل كلام الرحمن. And everyone decided